by far the most normal. He walked out of a toxic family instead of passing time snorting coke with daddy's money. Fuck!
Eli says, covering his eyes with his hand. What?
I just had a lucid dream of standing trial against you.
I laugh. I'd be at my most competitive.
Oh yeah? I'd settle the shit out of it. I'd tell the jury I walked into your knife and repeatedly stabbed myself.
I'm really glad that this is my reputation, because I'd stop at nothing to win. Remember the year you wouldn't let me get an eyebrow piercing, so I told 3 of the girls you brought home that you collected nail clippings? I shake my head. I was such a monster.
Remember how instead of trying to figure out why my bereaved 13-year-old sister was acting out, I would just scream and ground her?
Oh my god, that time you sent me to my room without dinner, so I started a hunger strike?
You didn't eat for days. I was fucking worried.
Oh, I ate. Jade brought me snacks every night. I was well fed. He pulls at my earlobe in retaliation, but then his eyes soften into something that I know will soon become all syrupy and cheesy, so I stick out my tongue at him. Don't get mushy on me, Kilgore.
I can't believe they just handed you to me. License to fuck you up.
Seriously? I can't believe they subjected you to the vigorous whirlpool of hormones that lurks within a teenage girl.
And yet, look at you.
He exhales a laugh, briefly speechless. Amazed.
You've succeeded so extensively, you're either going to work at Sanchez and revolutionize the semiconductor industry, or get a PhD and fucking redefine the field of astrophysics.
I glance away. It's not... I've failed at plenty of things.
Like what?
Like... I feel alone all the time. I don't tell him. I've been trying to fall out of love with the eldest Harkleroy for years. And there's worse, Eli. I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. I'm a hamster running on a wheel of doom. The Sanchez thing and the MIT offer... It's not that big of a deal.
Maya, it is.
His fingers gently twist my head toward him.
You have accomplished a lot, and you did it on your own. I know it has nothing to do with me, but I'm going to get it etched on my tombstone. Did not interfere too badly with the development of a great mind. Even Mom and Dad would be happy with me.
I bite my lower lip, the inside of my cheek. Do you think...
What?
But Mom and Dad would be here? At the wedding? Eli shrugs.
I'd love to say yes, but I have no clue.
He knows how hard it's been for me, coming to terms with the knowledge that the father my brother experienced was so different from the one I adored. That the reason Eli was so scarce during the first decade of my life had nothing to do with me and everything to do with his fraught relationship with our parents. The dad he knew wasn't protective, but dictatorial. Mom, absent instead of nurturing. And I struggle to reconcile one simple truth. If they hadn't died, Eli and I would still be strangers, and I would hate that. It has to make me a terrible person, right?
Dad was pretty traditional,
he muses.
And Mom went along with what he said. I doubt he and Mom would have liked Rue. Then again, they didn't like me either.
A lump forms in my throat. Sadness and resentment and nostalgia. Fuck them. He laughs.
Fuck them? Our prematurely dead parents?
Yeah. Fuck them. I love them. I miss them. But they were wrong. I like Rue. Sometimes, I even like you. Eli shakes his head, but his hand finds mine and holds it loosely. Where is Rue, by the way? I ask.
Taking a walk on the beach. She's a bit peopled out. Needed alone time.
Which direction did she go? My brother points toward Isola Bella. I'll go the other way, then.
I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
I can't believe she agreed to tonight. She begged us to not call it a bachelorette party, but we'll be having a girls' night. It sounds like the kind of college sorority outing Rue would slit her throat before attending. And yet...
she seems excited about it.
And since she has no poker face, it has to be true. Must be a Christmas miracle.
It's June.
It's Christmas o'clock somewhere. I rise to my feet, wave my hand in lieu of goodbye. Hey, Tiny, want to leave this old man to his ailments and go for a walk with me? Tiny springs up, energized by the magic W word. With him trotting at my side, we head for the beach.
Hey!
Eli calls after a while. I turn.
What?
I'm proud of...
oh, stop it.
You, Maya.
I resume walking, faster.
I'm proud of you, and you cannot stop me.
He shouts louder. I'm not listening!
Well, you should, because I respect you as a person.
Shut up!
And as a scientist.
I flip him off from over my shoulder. The last thing I hear, right as I start down the stone staircase, is my brother dissolving into laughter. Chapter 23. 3 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 5 days earlier. Edinburgh, Scotland. The first package arrives the day after Connor's departure. I struggle not to frown at it as I read the attached card.
Last night was a mistake, and I take full responsibility. I shouldn't have left without waking you up, but it seemed like the wisest thing. If you need anything, call. Whenever. Connor.
In the box is a state-of-the-art bread-making machine. I glower at it for a few moments, uncomprehending. What's that? Georgia asks when she enters the room. Hmm? I stuff the card in the waistband of my pajama bottoms. Just a present from a friend. She grins, salacious. What did Connor Harkness get you? Bread-making machine.
Oh my god! Because he knows you love fresh bread?
That must be why. I did mention my cravings for homemade bread at some point, but it was such an offhanded, in-passing comment, there's no way he remembered. Except he did. Motherfucker, I mutter, staring at my scowling eyebrows on the metallic surface of the appliance.
What? Why?
I ignore Georgia and storm to my room.
How fucking dare he? Be a dick to me on the phone, then come to my rescue, then coax me into developing a robust crush on him, then make me come like the world is ending, then leave me alone in his fancy hotel where I totally revenge-ordered breakfast room service, then remember what I enjoy and send me away to enjoy it more often. How dare he?
But in the following days, the gifts continue. A necklace, 3 fantasy books, new post-its and a fancy umbrella, flowers, a set of plush towels, an Xbox, sneakers that, the internet informs me, I could resell on eBay if I ever wanted the starting capital for a new life. Should I take a stand and return them? Nah. If it were anyone else, I would interpret the presents as a wooing strategy, or maybe an apology for acting like a total douche. Unfortunately, I understand Connor well enough to know that if he wanted forgiveness, he'd simply ask for it. He'd never be so gauche as to parade designer brands in any real courtship. The boxes he has delivered are too flashy, with no element of surprise. The opposite, in fact. He's not sending me Tiffany jewelry and Hermes sweaters because he wishes me to have them. He just wants Georgia, Alfie, Rose, and everyone else who visits my apartment to know he's still interested in me. Continue keeping up the charade.
Why doesn't he bring them to you in person?
Alfie asks during D&D night. With each passing day, he becomes more unfuckable to me. What did I used to see in this whiny, clueless, cowardly little shit? I wish I'd taken notes. I want a word with past Maya.
Because he's a fancy finance boy or something,
Sammy says.
I bet he's in Singapore disrupting the local economy.
Connor's a biotech investor. I looked that up. But yeah, he got busy. He might come to visit soon, though, I lie.
And disrupt you.
I grin at Sammy while Georgia and Rose giggle and Alfie rolls his eyes. Later, once the session is over and I'm alone in my room, I toy with the idea of picking up the phone and calling Connor.
Whenever,
he said. I check the hour. It's the middle of the day back home. Lunchtime, in fact. Why not? He's probably having a protein shake, or training on the rowing machine in his Riverview gym. I bet he has time for me. And yeah, he does, because he picks up after exactly one ring.
Everything okay?
Hello to you. Where are you?
Office.
Ah, yes. How's Austin doing? Still being taken over by the tech horde?
That one's unstoppable, I'm afraid. Maya, are you okay? Is there anything you need?
There's some urgency, like he's ready to jump on a plane. Again. I just wanted to talk to you. A pause. A long pause.
When I said to call me if you need anything, I meant...
If I needed a kidney, or a rec letter for an internship, or $500,000, I know. But what if I want to... A dramatic pause for effect. Talk.
We shouldn't.
Talk? I can almost see him leaning back in his chair. How long does it take to memorize someone's mannerisms? Could it be less than 48 hours?
This is highly...
Fun? Joy-inducing? Welcome?
Problematic.
I huff. What does problematic even mean? It's way too broad a term. Variable definitions.
You know exactly what it means.
I'm currently dealing with memory loss. I settle in the chair, stretch my legs on the desk. Did you close the Myers deal?
Of course.
Is that why you're dropping some serious cash on all these gifts?
No, it's because...
You want to make my roommate think that we're going strong, I know. I'm grateful that you've chosen to pepper the brand names with cute stationery. And please, keep the food coming. A noise on the other end, and... He's laughing. I made him laugh. My body is ablaze. So, yeah, I did want to thank you for the gifts, but... Above all, I wanted to thank you for the orgasm. It was insanely good. Best sex I've ever had.
Jesus Christ, Maya.
He says roughly. I smile. And I've been wondering, is it a you thing? A confused...
What?
See, I'm single. And horny. I'm trying to replicate what you did to me as closely as possible. In order to do that, I'm going to have to isolate the variables.
Maya.
And figure out where to get my fix of carnal pleasure. Is that a growl?
Do not use the word carnal.
Why? You hate it? Is this a moist situation? He sighs. I can feel the puff of air even across the ocean. My question is, do you think it's because you're older and wiser and more experienced? Should I be looking into dating older men?
Don't. No older guys. They'll only take advantage.
Not all older men take advantage. I contradict him. I recently hung out with this ancient guy who was super nice.
I know him well, and he's a shithead.
He interrupts harshly. A little too harshly.
God damn it, Maya. Just find a 20-year-old. Any 20-year-old.
I don't know why, but it feels just a little bit like he's running an ice cream scooper in the inside of my stomach and tearing out its lining. Is that what you want? I ask quietly.
No, it's not what I want because I don't care, Maya. It's not my business who you date, fuck, hang out with. All I care about is your well-being, and I have already jeopardized it once.
The last couple of words are as close to yelling as he's ever gotten with me. It makes my heart weigh 1,000,000 pounds. How much he does, in fact, care. How misguided he is. How stubborn about the boundaries of the life I'm going to live, about the shape my happiness is allowed to take. I am, I realize, on a bifurcating road. I could pursue him, keep flirting with him, tell him that I like him for 1,000,000 reasons that have nothing to do with his age or his money or his looks. Try to get him to accept that he likes me too. And when I inevitably fail to get through to him, lose him. Or I could have him. Not to the extent I want him, but it's a no-brainer, my choice. Yeah, okay, yap, yap, yap. I force myself to sound bored. One can't even pretend to be a femme fatale anymore. I feel the confusion over the line.
What?
Listen, I was kidding.
About?
I was just trying to get back at you for leaving me alone in your room, but I swallow. You were right. Are right. You're 1,000,000 years older than me, and it would make things so weird with Eli if I were to develop any kind of long-term crush on you. And here's the deal. I really do like sex, which is the reason why I don't want a thing with someone who lives on a different continent. He is silent for a long while until he says flatly,
"Trouble?"
I laugh. Yep, that's me. Here's the deal. I have no use for you as a boyfriend. I do, however, need a new friend, given that 3 of my old ones are on thin ice. Can you get over the fact that I'm stupidly beautiful and be that for me?
Depends. What kind of friend?
Just a friend I can talk to, I think. But say, can I call you and laugh theatrically at every single thing you say when Georgia and Alfie are in the kitchen making dinner?
Maya,
he says, reproachful. What? I reply, defensive.
I'm disappointed you have yet to do that.
Alfie comes to me on a sunny morning, several weeks after we broke up. I'm at the library, finishing up the bibliography for my thesis. He sits next to me, takes a deep breath, scratches the back of his head. Uh-oh, I think.
I'm sorry,
he says, wooden.
I was a dickhead. I acted. Harkness was right. I knew what I was doing was wrong. But I was halfway in love with Georgia before even realizing it.
I fold my arms. Watch him sweat a little. Where my feelings should be, sadness, rejection, anger, I only find tumbleweeds. I've moved on from this guy way too quickly. It's okay, I never really loved you is something that I could say, and it would be the truth. And maybe it would hurt him as much as he hurt me. But I no longer care about him enough to seek any kind of vengeance. I do have a question, though. Before you broke up with me, did you and Georgia... After a moment, he nods. I'm not even surprised. Did Rose know? He nibbles at the inside of his lips, and I know this boy's tells. I already have my answer.
She saw us once, and she said she wanted nothing to do with it, and that she was going to pretend to have fulminating amnesia.
So, yeah. She knew. I wonder if I have forgiveness in me, and yes, I do. but it might be wasted on this specific set of people. On my way home, I call Connor. We've been on the phone a lot. Mostly when I'm in my apartment. Mostly for show. Our calls tend to last a while, but when Rose wanted to know what Connor and I talk about all the time, I couldn't come up with an answer. Everything. Nothing. Some things.
What's up?
He asks, groggy. Were you sleeping?
I was, yes. Because it's 5 in the morning.
Why did you pick up then?
Because you called.
Okay, listen. I know you didn't grow up with any digital literacy, so I'll hold your hand as I say this, but...
I'm hanging up.
There is this magic trick you can do with your phone, which is called silencing your notifications.
I gave you an emergency bypass.
My heart skips so violently, I have to stop. Here, in the middle of a busy sidewalk. You better take it off, or I'm going to abuse my privileges.
How about you just don't trouble?
Doesn't sound like me, though. Anyway, I'll let you go back to sleep.
Nah, it's 5 a.m. I might as well go for my run.
A sentence you will never hear me utter. I resume walking. Do you happen to have a chia protein smoothie before your morning exercise?
No.
After? No response. Yes, then. So do you have a personal trainer?
Just a lurid student athlete past.
You know how to squat, hmm? That explains it, because you're really fit.
Maya.
For your age. A faint, rumbling grunt. I smile. Hey, Connor.
Yes, trouble.
I think I want to know everything about your exercise routine.
Why? So you can make fun of me?
Yeah, of course. He sighs. And then he tells me. April 15th is the last day for students to accept offers of financial support from U.S. institutions. That morning, I sit at my desk and write an email. Dear Dr. Sharma, I am so excited to join your lab at UT Austin. Chapter 24. Present day, Taormina, Italy. After overhearing Tamarin's phone call, I don't run into Connor for the rest of the day, which is for the best. I have yet to decide whether to stick to my guns, apologize for my lies about the German, or pretend that I was too drunk to remember what happened last night. The first option requires courage. The second, maturity. And the third, wisdom. I lack all three. At night, the men head downtown for a bar crawl.
Could you make sure that Rue gets a minute alone to eat?
Eli asks me.
If it's not a sit-down meal.
She forgets, and she doesn't like eating with lots of people around. My sweet, obsessed brother. Will do.
I asked Lucrezia to fix her a plate. So if you just...
Eli, go! I've got her. Except, maybe I don't. When I head for the pool, a platter of grilled seasonal veggies in one hand and a charcuterie board in the other, I'm already too late. Sunset in Sicily is unlike anything I've ever experienced. Vibrant fuchsias and blues brush across the sky, soften into stripes of coral and indigo that curl around Mount Etna. The ocean underneath is the same shade as a lavender field, and fragrances of rosemary and citrus waft up to the terraced gardens. Around the villa, down the cobblestone paths, the shadows of the walls lengthen, dusting the lawn. The garden is already bright with strings of light bulbs and the occasional lantern. Thanks to the marine breeze, what's left of the sweltering heat is simmering down. Rue and Tisha are poolside, sharing a sun lounger meant for one, eyes glued to the sky. Their focus reminds me of Tiny's little face when he works on his mental alacrity dog toys.
We started early.
Tisha says, when I deposit both trays on the table next to her bed. There's something odd in her voice. Toneless. Almost like... I glance around and find it immediately. Clumsily hidden in her fanny pack is a plastic bag full of gummies. I grin.
How?
Do not asketh about the provenance of ye old herb of merriment, she tells me, for ye are not prepared for ye shadowed truth. Lucrezia's grandsons? How the fuck could you possibly know that?
Splinter skill. I'm really good at spotting who's likely to have something interesting to sell.
In that case...
Tisha reaches under the bed and slowly, gropingly, finds the plastic bag.
Have some. With ye old chef's compliments.
The good thing about having extensively experimented with recreational drugs over my misspent youth is that I was able to catalog my reactions to psychogenic substances with the dedication of an amanuensis monk in a 15th century scriptorium. I've had my lows, such as the first time I tried DMT and gave myself bangs with a nail clipper. And my highs, when shrooms unlocked the concept of quantum entanglement for me. In fact, doing schoolwork while on shrooms was such a pleasant pastime of mine, I began growing them under my bathroom's sink at 15. When Eli caught me, I let him believe that it was not for personal use, but to barter them for designer clothes. Bless my fashion-challenged brother, who remains convinced to this day that Old Navy is a luxury brand. That's how I know that weed doesn't do much for me. Thanks, I tell Tisha, with no intention of partaking. Instead, I watch her and Rue stare up at the first few twinkling stars, making up names for them. Pip of the Twilight. Great Pricketh. Big Dipper of Yore. One by one, the others make their way downstairs to join us.
I missed you, darling.
I yearned for you,
and that is why...
Neota tosses a ball of fabric at me.
I got you this present.
I grimace as I unfold it. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, baby. How lovely that you're wearing a bikini. You can put it right on top.
I groan but comply, even as Avery gasps,
What is that three-legged nightmare?
Rue blinks.
Oh, shit. I must be much higher than I thought.
Worry ye not, babe.
Tisha pets her hair lovingly.
I will protect you from ye old tripod of terror.
An hour later, Minami and I are the only two people in the group not speaking like we're Chaucer scholars.
Look at these kids, taking full advantage of their cannabinoid receptors.
Should we be recording this for posterity? She asks me. Or would we be incriminating ourselves?
I don't know. Is weed legal in Italy?
Neota, do you know? She is, at the moment, very focused on braiding Tamarin's and Avery's hair. Together.
The real question, Neota says, is, why are you two such sticks in the mud?
You both rejected the poisoned arancello, too.
I shrug. I was never even offered the arancello, and I figured that it should fall to someone, the burden of herding you guys back to the villa if you get lost in the lemon grove. Minami nods. I, on the other hand, am pregnant. The silence that follows is molasses thick. Even the waves stop swishing against the shore. Until Rue turns to Tisha and whispers, comically loud,
Did we know that?
The reply is equally stage-worthy.
I don't think so.
Minami,
Neota asks,
Did you make a pregnancy announcement while all of us are high?
Minami grins. Maya's not high. In fact, Maya's crying.
Am I? I'm not. I'm just so...
My palms find my cheeks and come away wet.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you.
I lean forward to hug her as forcefully as I did the first time at 12.
I hope it's a girl, just like Kaida. Or a boy, just like Kaida.
Basically, I really think Kaida should graduate to Little Queen and have a mini-me to boss around. Everyone starts talking all at once, pregnancy stories, arguing over names, hoping for octuplets. But Minami lowers her voice and tells me, she'll be born in 5.5 months. And Sol and I agree that you should be her godmother. I blink. What? She laughs. Sol's sister is Kaida's godmother, and we love her. But she never bonded with Kaida. You are her favorite person in the whole world. After me, of course. But I am the owner of the boob. You're amazing with kids. All that volunteering you do at the rink, teaching. You really enjoy spending time with them. So, we'd love for you to be the one. A soft, cozy glow warms my chest. Minami, it would be such an honor. I'm choked up, and now she's tearing up too, and we're hugging, and I hope I'm not leaving snot in her hair, but who knows? I find this incredibly wholesome and heartwarming, even though I hate children, Nyota muses with detached intellectual curiosity. What's up with that? Avery laughs. You know, I thought the same. I was so sure I didn't want any. And now, here I am, 38, thinking about what summer camps I should send my imaginary kids to. If you have them soon, Minami tells her, we can take them to the park together, and you can defend me from the moms who make fun of my galaxy leggings. That's not defensible, Nyota mutters, but Avery nods eagerly. As soon as I find a guy who's not a serial killer or a Tesla fanboy, I'm coming to kick their butts. You used to date Hark, right? Tisha asks, lifting her head. After a handful of tries, she manages to lean it against her closed fist. Which one is he? Serial killer or Tesla fanboy? Neither, but he's emotionally unavailable. At least he has been open about the fact that there's someone else and he can't reciprocate my feelings. It's refreshing after my ex fucked around on me. Tisha rolls her eyes. I hate emotionally unavailable people. You made Diego propose 3 times before accepting, Rue points out. That's different. Men need to be kept on their toes. Hang on, Tamron interrupts. 3 times? The conversation moves to the 3 different rings poor Diego bought, and no one but me notices it. The slight stiffening in Manami's spine. Her quiet steps as she leaves down the stone path just a few minutes later. I assess the rest of the group. Despite their glazed eyes and uncontrollable fits of giggles, I believe they can be trusted not to walk off the cliff and impale themselves on a prickly pear. Minami, wait, I say, running after her. She replies without turning. I'm just going up to see if the babysitter Lucrezia recommended is doing okay with Kaida. I'll be right. She cuts off, because I'm standing in front of her, and it's obvious, even in the shadows, that her cheeks are tear-stained. It's not the first time I've seen Minami cry. She did so at my dad's funeral, and at least 12 times more in the following years. This is different, though, and I doubt it has anything to do with the announcement she just made. The pinched tension in her face is closer to anger than sadness. Her fists tighten. She shakes her head, as if talking herself out of something. Are you okay? Yes. No, I'm... She screws her eyes shut, then finds the closest bench, elbows on her knees. Takes several long breaths before saying, I just need a minute. I take a seat next to her, patting her shoulder with my hand. I think I know what set her off, but is it what Avery said? A nod. I adore her. I'm so happy she's at Harkness. Before she came on board, it was a fucking sausage fest in those rooms, and She straightens up. Her throat works. I'm tired of being dragged into this. It's been over a decade. Everyone assumes, even Eli is so sure, that one day I just fell out of love and irreparably broke Hark's heart, but that's not... She wipes at her cheek. This is probably Hark's fault. I wish I knew what the hell he tells people when they ask why we broke up.
That he asked you to marry him, you refused, and then it was over.
Is that what...
She scoffs.
Of course.
He doesn't blame you, Manami. The last thing I want is to create trouble between her and Connor, but maybe it's too late. There are several parallel lines on her usually smooth brow.
Cool. I mean, it's true. But does he say why I rejected him? Did he explain that he was absolutely unknowable? That I had to pry every word out of him? That he was so damn secretive and shady about his upbringing? For a long time, I suspected he'd spent time in juvie for setting an orphanage on fire or some equally abominable thing.
Did he tell you that my biggest issue in our relationship was the total lack of communication about his wishes and needs?
Please tell me he at least bothered to give context when he said that we broke up because I rejected his proposal.
I blink at Manami before calmly replying. He didn't say any of that. She rolls her eyes, but her demeanor changes when I add, but he did mention that he thought it was his fault, that he was broken to begin with. Her expression softens, head falling back to look at the sky, chest heaving deeply, once.
I could really use a shot right now.
I'm sure Axel has something in his room. She laughs, breathes for a few moments, following the rhythm of the cicadas. Really?
I am sympathetic to Hark's rich white boy trauma.
His family? Well, they messed him up good.
Hark's mom? For some reason I truly cannot fathom, this lady actually loved her cruel, cheating, abusive piece of shit of a husband.
And Hark's younger brothers? They should be preventatively locked up before they start a scammy meme coin or run someone over in a meth-fueled bender. And his father, of course, was a sadistic, manipulative shithead who treated his family like cattle. Hark's lifelong mission statement is don't be like Dad, and he's a control freak about that. But maybe because his mom was this fragile, ever-suffering woman, that's how he sees his partners. Someone to nurture and take care of, but someone to protect as opposed to someone to share a life with?
Yes! For years he was holding back on pretty much every single level. If something happened in his life, I was the last to know. The only emotion he felt comfortable displaying was anger, and he just poured it into his work. And for a while, I told myself that it was fine. Then I realized that all this love he professed to feel for me was just convenient. He wanted to be with someone who wouldn't rob him of his control, like his dad had robbed his mom. He wanted to live with someone he could live without. She closes her eyes. Still, I told myself, I can fix that. I can fix him. But I couldn't. He had to fix himself. And when I told him that it wasn't working for me, that I couldn't continue that way.
He asked you to marry him, I conclude, because
of course that would be Hark's response. Oh, what a fucking joke.
He grew up in mountains of privilege, but his childhood was so effectively bankrupt. He never had examples of functioning relationships in front of him. He's unable to get in touch with his feelings and to meaningfully engage with his desires. She rubs her face, exhausted. It's not true, what he told Avery. That he can't be with her because he's still in love with me. Because he simply isn't. Either he was lying to her or he's lying to himself. There is a third option, of course. That he was referring to someone else altogether. But Manami has no way of knowing. In fact,
No one does. No one but me. I'm sorry for venting, Maya. Please don't repeat any of this. The kicker is, most of this stuff about his family, I only know from Tamarin. He never even told me himself. He'd hate it, if he found out. I nod, reassuring. Pull her in for a hug, and don't bother telling her the truth. That everything Manami had to fight and scrape and beg to learn, every little detail about Connor's family, I knew already. He told me when we first met in Scotland. He told me over countless late-night phone calls over the past 3 years. He told me when I asked, and he told me when I didn't. Because one day, Connor Harkness decided that he wanted someone to know him, and he chose me. Chapter 25. 3 years earlier, Edinburgh, Scotland. Maya. Sorry I didn't pick up. Half of my mouth is asleep. Connor.
Ouch, cavity.
Maya. Yeah. Connor.
Isn't it the second in a short time?
Maya, the third. The dentist wants me to start using an electric toothbrush, but I'd rather die. Connor.
Why?
Maya, what if the head falls off and I carve a hole in my cheek with a little iron thing underneath? Connor.
That is a very rational fear.
Maya, what if it explodes in my mouth? Connor.
At least you'd be done with the cavities.
That night, he sends me soup and 3 different types of electric toothbrushes. 2 years, 4 months earlier, Austin, Texas. The plan is genius and absolutely unhinged. So much so, only Jade could have come up with it. I didn't, though, she tells me. It's called emotional fluffing. It's a thing. The problem is, I haven't had sex in nearly a year, and I miss it. The problem is, also, I haven't wanted to have sex with someone who isn't Connor since the day I met him again in Scotland. Here's what we're doing, Jade says with a straight face. You set up a hookup with some Tinder guy who looks like he might be decent in the sack. Half an hour before... Wait, how long do your calls with Connor last these days? I lower my eyes. Okay, 2 hours before you call him. You talk to him. You get horny from talking about, what do 36-year-olds talk about? The fall of the Berlin Wall? Goldman Sachs? Then you go over to the Tinder guy's place and... Bam! Bam indeed. The plan is absolute genius. And if it ends up not working out because I call Connor right when we said I would, because we end up fighting about the best way to restructure academic publishing, because he makes me laugh with a story from his rowing days, because I forget to check the time until approximately 40 minutes after I was supposed to meet Tinder guy, because I absolutely do not want to have sex with someone who isn't this man, well, that's my fault. 2 years, 1 month earlier, Austin, Texas. I always regret it afterward, I tell him the night of my fight with Jade. He takes a deep breath.
I know.
I really didn't want to. I get so angry and it's like I stop thinking clearly and my brain zeroes in on the meanest thing I can say. And the worst part is, my therapist has given me all these breathing techniques, all these ways to de-escalate, but sometimes I get so mad that my brain short circuits and I legitimately forget to use them. I rub my eyes. I have to be a bad person, right? Good people don't lash out like I do.
If you were, we wouldn't be having this conversation, Maya.
He's in Canada, but he feels so close.
I think it's normal, wanting to hurt someone who hurt you. You're working on it, and Jade knows you. You said you already made up, right?
Right. I hug my knees to my chest. What if I do it to you one day? Will you hate me? Soft laughter.
I don't think that's possible, trouble.
2 years earlier, Austin, Texas. He calls me drunk. Not sloppy, but almost. I try to make conversation. How was your day? Everything okay at work? What did you drink? But I don't think he wants to talk. You okay? I ask, cautious.
Yeah.
A deep inhale.
Yeah, I just wanted to listen to you exist.
Hearing it nearly breaks me. Okay, I say, and we don't talk after that. I finish what I was doing before he called, pack my bags for my upcoming week-long camping trip with Jade, fold some laundry, brush my teeth, wash my face, carry my phone with me wherever I go.
Maya,
he says over an hour later. Yeah? A sigh. His breath, then mine. He's about to say something. Or I am.
Have a safe trip.
1 year, 11 months earlier, Austin, Texas.
I don't fully get it. Stargazing.
I huff, outraged. Do you not love constant reminders of your insignificance? His,
I'm good, thanks,
makes me bust into laughter. Okay, but have you seen Antares?
Can't say I have.
Okay, go look outside now. Southwest, low in the sky. Shuffling feet, a balcony door opening. Connor existing.
What am I looking for?
The Scorpius constellation. It looks like a mechanical arm? Or a scorpion, according to the Greeks. But I don't super see it. Antares is the wrist of the arm, and a different color from the other stars. Red. So red, people kept mistaking it for Mars, so they named it Antares, which literally means not Mars. Come on, there's no way you can't spot it.
Saddened to inform you that there is, in fact, a way.
I sigh, scrape the smile from my voice. Well, you better figure it out soon, because this is a time-limited opportunity.
How come?
Antares is about to die.
About means?
A million years or so.
Right.
Assorted noises. Connor getting comfortable on the balcony. A hint of amusement.
Okay, tell me more about this mate of yours.
1 year, 4 months earlier, Austin, Texas. Kaida was born a week ago, and we were both at Minami's today, sitting next to each other, taking turns holding her and smelling her head, marveling at every yawn, blink, squeeze of her little finger, tuning out the conversation to just stare at her. He calls me the second he gets home. I'm waiting, phone in my hand. Do you want a family? I ask him after a while. At some point, I mean. His windows must be open. I can hear the distant sounds of traffic.
I'm not sure how to explain it.
Okay. I wait, patient, knowing that he'll get there. He always does.
I don't think that my default state is wanting a family,
he says.
But if I was with the right person, I would want it so much. I wouldn't be able to focus on anything else. I would constantly imagine that she...
He stops. A sharp breath. Laughter, maybe?
It would require a lot of changes anyway.
Such as?
I'd want the parenting to be evenly split. I'd have to restructure my work schedule, my habits.
You could do that.
Yeah. What about you? Do you want a family?
I love kids. They're just fun, you know? But I love the idea of having my own kids. I know Eli loathed Mom and Dad, but I had so much fun with them. I would tease them, and they'd get all mad at me, and then I'd tease them even more, and they'd look at each other as if to say, "What even is this terrible child we made?" But with pride. I'd like something like that. I swallow. I'd love to make someone feel the way they made me feel. Like the world doesn't have to be a terrible, scary, lonely place. Like life can be kind. He doesn't say anything for a long while, and neither do I. 1 year, 1 week earlier. Austin, Texas. There must be one you hate a bit less.
Nope.
Come on.
Maya, my brothers are all assholes of equal proportions. Which means that they deserve hate in equal proportions.
Okay. Let's say I'm pointing a gun at your head.
No, you're not.
I am. Use your imagination. Full immersion. I'm pointing a gun at your head.
What gun?
I don't know. I don't know guns.
What kind of Texan are you?
I roll my eyes. It's a rifle. Those long ones that they used a million years ago.
Those are difficult to use.
Okay, fine. Scratch that. I have a baseball bat in my hands. I could swing it at your head any second.
Yeah, that does sound more like you.
Right? My anger issues are all a flutter. Anyway, it's you, me, and the bat. And I'm asking you to choose, among your brothers, one you dislike less than the others. You have time to think about it. No rush. He's silent. I am too. Tethered together through a satellite that's a million miles away. I could drive to his house and be there in 10 minutes, but I won't.
Okay, I've got my answer.
And?
Swing with all your might, trouble.
10 months, 2 weeks earlier. Austin, Texas.
Do you still think that Alfie was the one?
He asks, after a lull so prolonged I can't recall what our previous topic of conversation was. It's well past midnight, the unpredictable witching hour. The time when we talk about things we shouldn't. Slow conversations. Lots of drifting off. Questions and answers that don't quite connect. I'm lying on my side, sleepy, listening to the low buzz of the AC. Jade stumbled home late, with someone I don't know, and the occasional bout of laughter vibrates through the walls, making me smile. I know he wasn't. I guess. Maybe I was infatuated with him? I think about it. I liked his teeth. A huff.
Maybe it was love then.
Shut up. I stretch. Lazy. Was Manami your first love?
I think so. Yes.
Did you know it right away?
No. No. There wasn't a lot of it going around while I was growing up. Love, I mean. So it was hard to recognize it. And there were women before, but...
The quiet stretches. A car drives by, headlights flooding my room. How did that... What was it like, being in love for the first time?
Nice. It was nice. I was relieved that...
That... A lingering pause.
I've told you already how similar I am to my dad. All I wanted was to have something a bit more...
More?
Nice. Quiet. Sustainable. It was a relief, finding Manami. Our tempers were complementary. She brought out the best in me. Didn't have to deal with the bad parts. Or the fucked up ones.
I laugh. Soft. But he hears me.
What?
He asks. That's not really the sign of a healthy relationship, no? Hiding parts of you?
It is if two people are well matched. If the relationship is respectful and gentle.
More laughter. Gentle?
What's funny about it?
Just, I don't think that's all there is to it. To love, I mean.
Don't you think that love means wanting to protect someone from the less pleasant aspects of yourself?
I mean, I don't know. But what you just said about Manami, it sounds like you're talking about a glass figurine. I yawn. Something to put on a pedestal or in a glass case, not a person. I fall asleep before he replies. Chapter 26. Present day, Taormina, Italy. Maya, this is going to be odd, and you are well within your rights to block me, but... Hi, Scarlett. This is Maya. Your boyfriend and I met last night after the pasta class. I hope it's okay that I'm writing you. Scarlett.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Maya.
Oh, my God, back!
I was wondering if he'd given me a real number. Scarlett. I've been dying for an update on you, an older guy.
Are you getting married? Should I save the date?
Maya.
Unfortunately, no wedding registry yet.
Scarlett.
Boo.
Maya.
But I'm not out of ideas yet.
Scarlett.
Lucas and I are rooting for you.
Maya.
Is Lucas your BF's name?
Scarlett.
Yes.
Maya.
Well, he's Hans in my phone.
Scarlett.
LOL. Why?
Maya.
For the diabolical plan I'm masterminding, I needed to save your contact under a male name. Hans was the first German name I could think of.
Scarlett.
But Lucas is Swedish.
Maya.
Oopsie.
Scarlett.
He says that there are plenty of Hanses in Sweden, too, so it's a solid choice.
And wants me to wish you luck in your games.
Is there anything we can do to help you on your honorable quest?
Footsteps.
They crunch against the gravel, soften on the grass lawn that surrounds the pool, come to a stop on the wooden deck. Someone stands between one of the few remaining lanterns and the sun lounger where I sit, cross-legged. A shadow stretching over me like a caress. Before glancing up, I quickly type at Scarlett Hans.
Honestly, you're doing it. TTYS!
It's nearly midnight, Trouble. And you're out here, all alone.
There's a softness to Connor's tone that must come from the darkness, from excellent wine, from a long day on the baking sand. The other guys have returned too, and are singing Bohemian Rhapsody as they head inside the villa. What a night to find out that my brother has no idea how to pronounce Scaramouche. You're out here too. I grin up at him, right above his head, and Terry's gleams its pretty, moribund light. And considerably less wasted than the others.
Maya!
Eli yells from across the pool.
Where's my future wife?
Sleeping in Tisha's room to protect each other from, I quote, ye old tri-legged monster.
Eli cannot possibly understand, but he nods.
What did you guys do all night?
Stayed in. Got high.